Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. We want to welcome you to a special bonus episode of Scandia Bible Church Podcast this Easter morning as our congregation gathers for food, fellowship, and a sunrise service in the lovely waterside home of Elder Keith Barker. On violin this morning, my eldest daughter Paige, and of course, Mary, accompanying her on the keyboard. Our message this morning for this special sunrise service being delivered by a member of our church body. He's a leader, coach, father to many, and a brother in Christ. Mr. Lou Bond.
He has risen indeed. We wouldn't even gather here if that wasn't the case. We wouldn't be here together now if that was not the case. Brothers and sisters, we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who sits at the right hand of God. And that is a glorious thought. That is a glorious truth. That's a glorious idea. And that's something we can rest upon here and now, even in our trials and tribulations here. Paul in Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." When I was given this assignment to speak Easter morning by Keith, having told me that that's what I was doing. Thank you, Keith. Always have a bit of worry. I didn't want to. My first inclination was not to to do it. Last year, I was really stressed out about it and worried. What would I say? How would I stumble? How would the words come out? How would the Lord direct? And thankfully, it went well. Yeah. I thought to myself, I shouldn't do it a second time. and the fear definitely was upon me. It's because of the seriousness of it, right? This is a serious matter. There's nothing more serious than speaking about the Lord and His truths for us. Paul wrote that, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." He was in jail, imprisoned because of his testimony of the Lord and what the Lord had already done for him and said that. And I was thinking in my own life and in my family's life, and I know some of our own congregants, we have so many trivial fears and trivial concerns and issues that plague us daily, right? How is my relationship with my wife? How's my relationship with my kids? We're homeschoolers. Are our kids even, you know, up to the same level and standard of those around us? And how are we viewed? And all of those kinds of fears and trepidations constantly upon us. And I know for each of you, whether it be a health issue, a concern, a relationship, even within the church, how those kinds of fears and trepidations are upon us. And I wanted to share that when Paul was writing in Philippians there, the Philippians were under attack as well. There was some misteaching going on. Their own witness to the world was under scrutiny, and he was encouraging them. And in the book of Philippians, my Bible says, the commentary says, that the word joy, or the form of it, was used 16 times in the book of Philippians, in that short book. When I was thinking about what I would preach about, you know, I went to what I preached last year about, and that was starting right at the beginning in Genesis, where God had made man in His image. They were in the garden. They were with Him. It couldn't have been any better than it ever was. And yet, sin happened. They ate, which they should not have. They fell into sin. And immediately, God had already put mercy upon them and grace upon them. And He had done that by removing them from the garden, from being in presence with the tree of life in their sin. He removed them. That was a mercy immediately shown to them. And I said, oh gosh, I can go a long ways with this one again, you know. And that he clothed them with tunics, right, with skins. We already had the example of death and bloodshed because of our sin. It was already shown immediately. There wasn't a delay. There wasn't a hesitation. God's plan was already in place. And that should be a reassurance to us. We know that we have our shortcomings and that we have our failures and our losses, and we see it in our own fears and trepidation here, and that's our own sin abounding within us. But if we place ourselves in Christ, we don't have that same fear. We don't have that same pressure. I thought of the two disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus, and a fellow sojourner comes along and meets with them, and they talk, and they're something like, I don't know, 7 miles outside of Jerusalem walking back, and they're bewildered. They are shocked. The very idea of where they were and where they are this moment was a huge letdown. It was a shortcoming that they could not imagine. They believed the Savior was here. God was here. And then to experience the brutality of his death before them, their king, was almost too much to bear, almost too much to fathom. The excitement, though, of the scriptures being opened up to them and him revealing himself as the risen Lord, as promised in scripture, was a joy that could not be contained. They could not hold themselves there any longer. They had to get back to Jerusalem. They had to tell the story. And the number of eyewitness accounts of him risen is so important to us and so important to the joy, the hope, the comfort that we have in Christ. And so I'm going to share some of those that many of us here have read many times, have heard many times, but I wanted to remind us, because it was a great reminder to me in studying and preparing for this. And I wanted us to be seated in this idea of Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Like verily, 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 Keith, this is repeated because of the importance of that truth. If you have your God's Word with you, if you would, if you'll turn with me to Mark 16, 1 through 8. Now, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him very early in the morning on the first day of the week. They came to the tomb when the sun had risen. The sun is rising now. Very early in the morning. And they had said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door in the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly, fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 17. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and said, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples what she had seen, and she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 33. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem." Emmaus, excuse me. "And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is that you have with one another as you walk and are so sad?' And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem?'" Could you imagine? The entire community, right? Starting with Palm Sunday, on the arrival of Christ, they all knew. There was nobody that did not know what had just happened in the past 7 days, in the past 3 days, and what was transpiring at that moment. "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. As they drew near to the village they were going, he indicated that he would have gone no farther. And they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they arose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathering, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." What a joy. I mean, to have been at the incredible heights early on, to seen all of the miracles that were performed, to have walked with him, to have been taught by him, to have been fed by him physically, spiritually, and then to witness the loss of him, the humiliation of the torture of him, the beating of him, an entire community having gone against him, condemned him. What a shock when they thought that they were themselves being delivered and not really fully understanding all the things that they had been taught. Are we not like that still? To have the full scripture opened up to you by Christ himself. There is no way that there was no amount of joy that would have held them back from getting back to Jerusalem to indeed sharing what the women had already seen and experienced. They didn't believe, but they did now, right? Christ himself had shared that. They got back as quick as they could to share the good news. Jesus goes on to appear to the disciples. Let's go to John 20, verse 19 through 31. I got so many verses here, so many different things. I'm already skipping a couple of them. Monty, maybe I won't hit some of your verses for later today. I'll try not to. But then, John 20, 19 through 31. And the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Glad. I don't even think it really even begins to really illuminate the incredible joy that they must have been feeling, right? They were in fear of their own lives right now. They were hiding. And so Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put the finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. The doors are closed. The doors are closed here right now. We're gathered here. They're still in private. The doors are locked. Jesus, as Jesus only can, appeared to them inside that room right now. Jesus being there with you right now. He says, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to them, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Brothers and sisters, we didn't see that. We didn't put our fingers there. I can tell you, our sins put him on the cross. Our sins are what caused him to be bruised. But it's his blood that is shed for you and I. It's our faith in that. It's our hope eternal. It's that which we should be preaching from the rooftops, from our gardens, from within our own house, out to our neighbors, in our workplace. What a glorious thought. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. "The former account I made, O Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he thought the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by him during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And that should be our constant theme for one another. That should be our constant theme under pressure, under attack, under stress, under poor health, under poor relationship. Put ourselves in Christ. Be centered there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Staying in Acts, verses 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It started with those guys, those disciples, those women and men were given this instruction to go start doing that. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came to them and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Great commission given. And it's still upon us. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 and 11. Did I already do that one? Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, receiving him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in a like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Okay? So we know that that's coming again. Jesus is coming again. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Sorry, Monty, I may be covering some of your stuff. I apologize. 2 Corinthians 5:18. I now have a better appreciation for Frank and Keith and Monty and Bob. I don't know how you get all the cliff notes in and all of the parts of the scripture so that you're able to flip right to it. Maybe you write it all out. Maybe that's what I could do better next time. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, has given us this ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And again I say, rejoice. How could they not be excited? How could they not? Their Lord, their Messiah, has risen. The King is here. The King sits at the right hand of God on our behalf. He took on our sin, all of it. Rest in that. Romans 5, 12 through 21. Therefore, just as though one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned, right? We know that, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed, and when there is no law, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, though one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, and also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Romans 6, 1 through 14 says, dead to sin, alive to Christ. Brothers and sisters, dead to sin, be alive in Christ. Boys and girls, you hear that? Be alive in Christ. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. Again, Monty, I really hope I didn't touch any of yours. You're here.
I'm prepared for
you. Yeah, I know. I was given 10 minutes, right? Oh. 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work, all uncleanliness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in your spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That can only come through Christ. That can only come by Christ. Anything else is short, far short. Philippians, back to Philippians. So, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Let's go to Philippians, chapter 3, verses 20 through 4:1. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. That's to us too. Stand fast in the Lord. So I think that it's very clear that we know the excitement, the passion of the early disciples and Paul, right? Even Paul himself being taught by Jesus himself, that he could honestly, even under persecution, under poor health, under bad situations, right? We have it so good. We have it so good. Yet he can say with absolute joy, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, that those disciples had a true joy. And brothers and sisters, we can have that same true joy now. And we should. That only in Christ can we begin to accept that imprisonment, to accept that fear, that we can accept even unto death in Christ, that we can walk that walk. You know, I was thinking of Bob and our sister Laura and so many others. Thinking of John and some of the hardships that here and now that we go through. Even our own church, Russ, we're handshaking left-handed now. You know? Because, you know, we suffer affliction here. But that's not the end of the story, right? The story is our joy in Christ, our hope in Christ. And kids, even the ones that are sleeping in the front row, our joy is in Christ. Focus on that. Attune yourself to Him. Do not get caught up on what people might think of you, how you might look or not look. Rest in the Lord. Put your attention there, Charlotte, right? Read your Bible. The Lord is here for us, here and now. Very real. Very alive. Our hope is secured, for He indeed is risen. He is seated at God's right hand, and we will be with Him in glory. That is a promise certain. What a glorious day. I'd like to close with Psalm 113. This is a praise, right? This is a praise, so we should be full of praise for all that He has done for us. For what He continues to do for us. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down. The Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who dwells on high? Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that He may seat him with princes, with the princes of His people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Good morning. Happy Easter.
Well, that's going to wrap up this special bonus episode. We hope you've enjoyed our Easter Sunrise service message. You can find out more about us and listen to past sermons at scandiabiblechurch.org. And of course, we want to invite you to join us via podcast for our Easter service from the Scandia Bible Church pulpit, which will be delivered a little later on today by Elder Monty Seamow. Okay, I've got a bunch of the kids around here. As we sign off from this location, we want to remind you from Scandia Bible Church, He is risen.
Indeed.